Chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. It's the third Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse 13 and read down to verse 17 as we start tonight. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 13 down through verse 17. Luke chapter 9, verse 13, follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. It says about Jesus, "But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. So he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there were taken up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this service tonight, for this Wednesday evening, that God, we can gather together, and Father, be refreshed spiritually. And Lord, enjoy the fellowship we have with one another. And Father, most of all, enjoy the fellowship we have with you. We thank you for the songs that we can sing, the prayers that we can offer. We thank you for the offering that we can give. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship and now for the precious time in the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our spiritual eyes right now to behold wonderful things out of thy law. Teach us and instruct us from the pages of Scripture, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have been looking over the past several weeks now at the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about prayer, and if we want an example, there's no greater example than Jesus himself. He being God in a human body, which is beyond our comprehension, how do you separate his deity from his humanity? You can't. But understanding that as a human, he suffered and endured things exactly like we do, and he needed refreshment, he needed conversation, he needed fellowship with the Father. And as we come to our passage tonight, the first 5 weeks, the first 5 lessons we've had have all been instances of Jesus praying before he chose his disciples, after a busy day and going up into a mountain, rising early on a busy morning and getting a jump on that start. We've seen individual activities of his praying. Tonight we're actually going to bundle a few of them together. There are 4 times that the Bible records Jesus praying before a meal. All right, 4 times him recording him praying before a meal. This one is the feeding of the 5,000. It's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. But it is one occasion where he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, blessed them, broke them, gave, and fed 5,000, not counting women and children. And when they were done, took up 12 basketfuls of leftovers from that small lad's lunch that was donated. So one of the times that the Bible records him praying before a meal is the feeding of the 5,000. Another time is the feeding of the 4,000. And that's the second reference you've got there under letter A, the miracle meals. We'll talk about them in a minute. Matthew 15, verse 36 to verse 38. That was Jesus feeding the 4,000. That was a separate occasion from the feeding of the 5,000. And yet when you read the 2 accounts, they're so very similar. We're not looking at both of them tonight and dividing them. We're putting them together. But those are 2 different times where Jesus, the Bible said that Jesus blessed or gave thanks and broke it. So the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. The 3rd time is in the upper room with his disciples on the night of his betrayal, as he celebrated what we call now the Last Supper. They didn't know it was the Last Supper then. It was the Passover supper to them. And as he break the bread, he prayed and gave it to them. And we'll look at that in just a moment. So the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, the Passover supper or Last Supper. And then finally, the 4th one was with the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. Where he walked with them from Jerusalem after all the things that had happened and gone on. And as they're going back then, the 2 disciples, he teaches them the Word of God, opens up the Scripture, expounds everything about himself. And then while he's there eating with them, he prays. And their eyes are open and they realize who he is. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. So there are four recorded instances of Jesus praying before a meal. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean he only prayed four times in three and a half years of his recorded ministry. It's giving us the information that it was his custom. It was his custom to pray before he ate. And so as we look at these things tonight, as we group them into the three, again, the two feedings are put together, we're grouping them. I'll say this, we are looking at the times Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed, Jesus prayed. In these accounts we're looking at, it never says he prayed. You say, well, preacher, why are we looking at it? It says he blessed. It says he gave thanks. And isn't that the same as praying? When we get ready to have a meal together, we say to someone, will you ask the blessing? What is that? That's the prayer. Will you return thanks or will you give thanks? And that's the prayer. And those are the two phrases that are used in all these occasions, about 11 times, I think, between the two, in these four occasions, that Jesus is praying for the food. He's blessing it. He's giving thanks for it. And he's setting a pattern and giving us an example of what we should do. And that is, be thankful for everything that God bestows upon us. Be thankful for everything he gives us, even as small as five loaves and two little fishes. Now, I know what it became, but I also know what it was before he blessed them. And so tonight, we're looking at Jesus' custom to pray. I can't help but think about one time, many, many years ago, I'd been to a church in upstate New York back in the early 80s. All right, for some of you, it's the 1980s, by the way. But in 1981-82, I'd been upstate New York, and I preached at a church up there, and we had a great time, and everything was fantastic. I went back about 6 or 7 years later. They invited me back up there. I was back up there 6 or 7 years later. The pastor had moved from upstate New York all the way to the West Coast to go start a church over there. And the assistant pastor had become the pastor. And so he called, he said, before church, he said, why don't you meet us? I think it was a steak place or something like that. That's good. He said, why don't you meet us for dinner before the church service? And I met him and one of the other church men. And we sat down at the table and we ordered our food. And the food came. And I just kind of sat there, you know, how we do. I kind of sat there thinking, all right, do we pray before the bread? Do we wait till after the bread? Or is it chips, before the chips or after the chips? Are you post-chip? Or pre-chip, you know, how does that work out? When do you pray? So I was kind of waiting, and they could see my hesitation. And they said, well, brother, just to set your mind at ease, we don't pray before we eat. And I said, oh, okay. And then he proceeded to tell me, there's nothing in the Bible that tells you that you are supposed to or have to pray before you eat. That's a Pharisaical commandment that people have just added to it and added this and added that. And so we don't pray. Can I just give you kind of a precursor here? When it's something as a Christian that you're accustomed to doing and somebody tells you we don't do it anymore, that's never a step in the right direction. All right, even if it's not a doctrinal hard truth, And here's simply what I'll say, that we didn't pray. I had a hard time with that. We didn't pray before we ate. We went to the church, and then I went to the church and realized this ain't the same church it was 6, 7, 8 years ago either. There were more changes than just not praying before the food before we ate. And so that was just kind of a sign of the tip of the iceberg that things were going differently. And what came to my mind is exactly what we're looking at tonight. Jesus set a pattern of praying before he, I don't want to say stuffed his mouth when I'm talking about the Lord, but before he fed himself, he stopped and prayed. No, it doesn't record it hundreds of times, and I'm sure he ate hundreds and hundreds of meals during his lifetime. But it does give us enough information to let us know that he thought it was customary and important to give thanks before what he ate. And so tonight we're going to look at that custom of prayer. We're here in Luke chapter 9. We read verse 13 to verse 17. When Jesus had the 5,000 men plus the women and children on the countryside that had come to hear him teach, and evening was coming, and they were hungry. And Jesus said to his disciples, the disciples came to Jesus and said, send them away that they can go into the villages and find food. And Jesus said to them, no, you feed them. It was a test of their faith. You feed them. How? 200 pennyworth of bread is not enough to feed all these. How are we going to do it? And I like the story in John chapter 6. It kind of gives a little more details than the other about the lad with his lunch, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that Philip finds him and gets that food and gives it to Jesus. And this, it's told us in the story here in Luke with not all those details. But it tells us he made them sit down by 50s in a company. I like that too. Our Lord was organized. He made them sit down by 50s in a company. It wasn't a mob mentality. It just wasn't a free-for-all. You watch some of these videos, you see some of these things where they send food into Ethiopia, they send food into a starving country, and they have to send military guards in with a truck because the people will just storm the truck and get that food, and I don't blame them. They're starving. Jesus said to these to his disciples, make the men sit down in groups of 50. There's 5,000. And he says, let's get this organized. Let's get this set up. Let's get this done right. I like how the Lord likes it done right. A lot of people today, when it comes to church and things, think it's not supposed to be organized. If it's organized, the Holy Ghost isn't in it. It's got to be a free-for-all. It's got to be whatever's going on. It's got to be like, no, the Lord said, let things be done decently and in order. Now, there's got to be freedom of the Spirit of God to move, but it doesn't have to be chaos. It doesn't have to be craziness like most of those go into when they get in that direction. So the Lord said, make them sit down by 50s. They did so. Then he took the 5 loaves, verse 16, and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. Let's talk about the miracle meals. First of all, the focus. It said in verse 16, and looking up to heaven. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the 3 synoptic gospel writers, as they call them, all emphasize the same thing. That before he broke the bread, before he multiplied it, he looked up to heaven and blessed it. His focus was on God. For everything God gives, we should give thanks. For everything. For 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 people. I'm sure some of them looked at that despairingly and said, what is that among so many people? Murmuring, complaining, that's not enough. No, be thankful for what you've got. Don't complain about what you don't have. You know what you find in the Bible? You find that example of the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness. Remember that? We don't have any water. Twice God had to give them water from a rock. We don't have anything to eat. God rained down quail from heaven so much that they got sick from eating so much of it. One time he gave them manna. You know what the Bible tells us manna is? They tell us the word manna means what is it, but the Bible tells us what it is. It was like coriander seed and honey. That sounds like a better biscuit than Hardee's has ever made. Coriander seed with honey. That sounds delicious. And that's what God provided for them. And you know what they end up saying? All we have in the wilderness is this manna. They were not thankful for what they had. They always wanted more. They always wanted better. That's not an attitude of thankfulness. You know what I've come to learn? The more you thank God for, the more you appreciate what he's given you. You say, well, preacher, he hasn't given me a lot. Be thankful for the little you have. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your mindset. It'll change your heart. To be thankful for what little you have. And so the focus was on God. Some people say, well, I don't need to pray for my food. I'm the one that worked. I'm the one that labored. I'm the one that sweat. I'm the one that went and bought the food. And I'm the one that took it home and cooked it and prepared it. It's me. I did it all. Well, without God, you'd have been dead. Without his hand upon your life, his breath upon your lungs, his beating of your heart, Without God, you wouldn't have the ability to go out and work and do those things. It all comes from Him one way or the other. And so we need to give Him thanks for what He's given us. Give Him thanks for what He does for us. If we go to someone's house, we thank them for the meal. All right, we appreciate it. They worked, they labored, they bought it, they cooked it. There's nothing wrong. Thank them for the meal, but don't forget to thank God, because He needs to be the focus. And so here's Jesus with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and He looks up to heaven. That's the focus. Second of all, the fearlessness. Verse 14 says, "For they were about 5,000 men." Here's the feeding of the 5,000, and Matthew, it's the feeding of the 4,000. And when Jesus stopped and paused, stopped everything, while the crowds are there and they're seated and they're watching, before He did anything else in the front of those large crowds, He looked up to heaven and He prayed. He wasn't worried about the crowds. He wasn't worried about who was there. He wasn't worried about what they'd think. He wasn't worried about what they'd say. He wanted to focus on the Father. He wanted to talk to Him. One of the most nervous prayers I ever offered was at my 25th class reunion. And this was, just to date me, 1999. All right, that was my 25th class. They just had our 50th last month up there. I didn't go. But I went to the 25th, and because I'm a minister, the two girls that were operating, two classmates, felt obligated to ask me to pray before the meal. And so it was no problem, but I knew to whom I was praying in front of. These are the kids I went to high school with. And they knew me in high school. That was the worst part. I wasn't a Christian back then, so this was different. This was a change. And I've told you this before, half of my graduating class were Jewish people. A lot of my friends, my hockey teammates, were all Jewish kids. We got along great, there wasn't any problem, but they weren't really of the same persuasion I was of. And praying and closing as we do in Jesus' name, amen, man, was it silent. You could feel the silence in that room when I got done. And the Jews for one reason, the Gentiles for another reason. And I felt like I was on a desert island somewhere, deserted and all alone when I got all done. And so I just tried to blend in and go along with what was going on after that. Jesus prayed before a great multitude, before a great crowd. He didn't back down from it. He wanted to make sure He gave thanks. He was not ashamed publicly to say grace. Did you get that? He was not ashamed publicly to give thanks. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You're in the restaurant. Don't be ashamed to bow your head. You know, that's a wonderful opportunity to give a testimony. And that's a great testimony. And I think about this all the time when we go in, because I used to be that way. You go in, you order your food, it's down in front of you. Just like our dog Zoe, the nose goes right down in, you start devouring it. All right, that's our animal behavior. There's food, chow down. But now as a Christian, we thank God first. We thank God for providing it, for giving it. And in a public place, don't be ashamed to do that. Don't be embarrassed to do that. The Lord wasn't. He bowed His head and He prayed in front of that large crowd. Thirdly, talk about His faith. It says in verse number 16, He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and blessed them. Can I put the cart before the horse? Before He multiplied the food, He prayed for it. Now, this is one of the miracles of Christ, obviously, and the miracle that's the only miracle recorded in all 4 Gospels. But before the food was multiplied, before it was multiplied, He prayed for it. He gave thanks when it was little, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and it became a lot. Now, be careful, I'm not teaching you that if you sit down in front of that cheeseburger and pray for it, you're going to open your eyes and there are going to be two cheeseburgers sitting there. That's not what we're saying. We're not going to multiply the food. But we will appreciate what God has given us. The miracle occurred because Jesus prayed. And the Bible is careful to let us know that before he did that three times, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, before he multiplied it, he lifted up his eyes toward heaven and he blessed it. Give thanks for what you have instead of complaining about what you don't have. Don't be envious of what others have. I'm not just talking about food, talking about anything. Be thankful for what you've got. When we have contentment, we have peace. With much comes much responsibility. With much, I was thinking about something there was a turn in my life, a place, a time in my life where things could have gone differently. And I'm trying not to say too much, but things could have gone differently and maybe I would still be exactly where I am right now doing what I'm doing. Or maybe if it had gone differently, I'd be so comfortable and so set that I wouldn't feel like I need to do what I'm doing right now. And so sometimes God withholds things so that we can appreciate what we've got. No matter what it is, materialistically in our life. Don't be envious of what other people have. Be thankful for what you've got. That's where faith comes into play. Again, it's hard to say that when we're talking about Jesus because he was Jesus. And yet before he multiplied the food, he lifted up his eyes and he prayed for God to bless it and to multiply it, to make it sufficient for the need. Now, you know why God doesn't multiply ours? Because we don't need it to be multiplied. They needed it to be multiplied because there were 5,000 men plus women and children that were there. But the faith that was involved, Jesus said if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, man, that's small. That's the smallest grain that I don't know a whole lot about granary, stuff like that, but that's small, all right? I told you, I've been planting grass seed. Those things are tiny, a whole handful. Those jelly beans in the jar, how many are there? Well, I'm looking at that handful of seeds and thinking, how many of that? That's a whole lot of seeds right there. They're tiny. The grain of a mustard seed, that's even smaller than that. If you have that kind of faith, you'll say to a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It will happen. How small is our faith? Exercise it. Be thankful. Give the Lord thanks. Somebody said this, I didn't write it down, but they said, not giving God thanks for what he gives is like robbing God. Just by not giving him thanks. And I guess there's a lot of truth to that. We need to be thankful. So the miracle meals are one example of Jesus praying before he ate. Secondly, look there in the Gospel of Luke, and we went. That's why we use the Luke reference for the feeding of the 5,000. Look at Luke chapter 22, so we keep them all in one book and not confuse us. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. We know the story well. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we read this account. So it says in Luke 22, 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said to them, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Here is the memorial meal. It is the Passover supper. or as it became known later, because it couldn't be known that that's what it was before, it became known as the Last Supper. The night before his betrayal, the night before his crucifixion, he was betrayed by those, and so the Lord, on that night with his disciples, prayed as they sat down to eat the meal. It was a regular meal, and yet they celebrated it in such a way. Notice the situation here. It says, he took the cup and gave thanks in verse 17. And then it says, and he took the bread and gave thanks in verse 19. That's two prayers at the same supper. Now again, I'm not telling you need to pray twice during your supper. Don't talk with your mouth full. But the Lord prayed twice on this occasion. He gave them the cup. When he did, he prayed. He gave them the bread. When he did, he prayed. Twice at the same meal. I don't know that this is the reason, because I can't know it. But I can look at what he was facing when he had that supper. The first time was the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, and life went on, if we can say it that way, after that. But that's not what this one's about. This is the Last Supper. This is the last. He said, I'm not going to eat this meal again with you until we eat it together in the kingdom of God. He knew what was coming. They had no clue. They should have. He told them, but they didn't know what was going to happen. But he told them, we're not going to eat together again. This is the last time. And so he prayed twice during that meal. I believe it's because he needed the extra prayer, can we say it that way, because of what he was going to face. Are there times where just one prayer is not enough? Where the need is so great that you just don't mention it once and go on, you have to pray a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. Not with vain repetition, I don't mean it that way, but there's such a burden and such a need that you bring it before the Lord on more than one occasion. Here he is the night before everything's about to happen, and he prayed twice at that meal. Why? Well, I put down here, because of the betraying. Look at verse number 21. We read to verse 20. Look at verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. It told us he's sitting with his 12 apostles, right? You know who the 12 apostles are. And you know there's one among them that is going to betray him. And that's Judas Iscariot. And he's sitting there at the table with them. It says in verse 20, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth is with me on the table. That's a very important truth to remember. Roman Catholicism teaches that Judas Iscariot was not at the Lord's Supper. He was not there to take the bread and the cup, because they teach that taking the bread and the cup gives you eternal life. We'd have a hard time teaching that if Judas Iscariot got the bread and the cup, and he did. He's still there with them at the time. He went out after it was done. They looked around saying, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And John chapter 13 tells us that Judas Iscariot said, Master, is it I? He was there. And Jesus knew the one that was going to betray him was sitting right there at the table with him. Not only because of the betraying, but because of the boasting. Look down. Look at what happens right after this. I enjoy the Bible because it records humanity so well, even when it's so embarrassing. I mean, look at verse 21. Behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is on the table. Truly the Son of Man goeth, it was determined, but woe to the man by whom he's betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do that thing. Which of us would betray him? Which of us would be that snake in the grass, so dastardly, so hypocritical that we would betray him? None of us would do that. And look where the conversation quickly disintegrated to. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. They went from, I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't do it, to, yeah, you probably would do it, I'm better than you. And they got into a contention over which of them is greatest. When Jesus is sitting at that table saying, this is my last time to eat with you. He that betrays me is at the table. And they start wanting to wonder among themselves, which of them is the greatest? You know what that is? Human nature. Thinking of self before God. Jesus is laying out this thing. Here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinners, betrayed, crucified. I wonder which of us will be greatest in the kingdom of God. What? Where did that come from? That came from a human heart that doesn't really care about God or think about God. A human heart that's focused on number one and puts God out. And so here, not only the betraying, but the boasting. And Jesus had to sit through this with a broken heart. One that's going to betray him, others that are boasting, and then his prime guy, his number one guy, look at verse 31. Because of the bragging, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And notice what Simon says. After all this is going on, he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now, I do believe he meant it. I don't believe he was being arrogant, egotistical, or puffed up. I think he really meant that. John, and you might write the reference, John 13:37. John said this. John recorded Peter saying this, I will lay down my life for thy sake. No, you won't. And Jesus is looking at all of this. As he's sitting at the table, as he's giving the cup and giving the bread, he knows the hearts of the people that are sitting in front of them. Even when they want to do right and are being sincere, they're so full of themselves. I'll do this and I'll do that. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus prayed twice during that supper. I think I understand that. He prayed because of the situation. He prayed because of the suffering. Look at verse number 15. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He was the only one at the table that really knew what was coming. And yet he sat down at that table and enjoyed the fellowship of his disciples. Sat down and ate with them. Don't take this wrong, but what a lousy lot of men. What a group. You know why Jesus loved them? Because he loves us. What a lousy lot of men. What a group. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. We all get in trouble when we start saying, I wonder which one of us is greatest. I bet I'm better than that one is. I bet God loves me more than that one. He looks at all of us and has the same broken heart over our sin and our condition, but still loves us. And he says, listen, fellas, I'm gonna eat this with you because I want to be with you, but I'm about to suffer. And so he prayed, and then he prayed again. The memorial meal. Then lastly, let her see, and it's over in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and typo verse 28. I think I put 48. Luke 24, 28. Need to correct that 4 and make it a 2. The mystery meal, Luke 24, verse 28 to verse 35. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and he knew them, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scripture? They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together with them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, notice this, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I like that. The mystery meal. You say, preacher, why do you call it the mystery meal? Because the two disciples on the road to Emmaus were simply walking from Jerusalem, and this stranger, the Lord Jesus, the stranger sides up with them and begins to walk with them and overhears their conversation. And they're talking about what had just happened. The crucifixion. That one they trusted to be their Messiah. The mystery meal. The third person sides up with the two disciples that are walking in, and he asked them, what are you talking about? And they said, are you a stranger around these parts? Don't you know what has just happened? The one we trusted to be Messiah was crucified. They buried him, But the word is that he's risen again from the dead. And the Bible says, down in verse 27, that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Moses and the prophets, that's the Old Testament, folks. Some people say, well, the Old Testament's not important. He used the Old Testament to show them the promise of a coming Messiah and the promise of his death, burial, and resurrection. And so, yes, it is important. We need it. And as he talked to them, he said, they opened the scripture. And then he sat down. He when they got to where they were going to stop, he acted like he was going to keep going, and they constrained him. We would say restrain, but constrain is the same word. They kept him back from going any farther and said, come and sit down with us. And so as a guest at their table, basically, he sat down to eat with them. We call this the initiation. He took the bread and he blessed. This is not a miracle meal. This is not the feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000. This is not the Last Supper with a couple of his disciples. All three of those we might call special events. This is a regular event, a normal meal. Travelers, weary travelers, sitting down in the evening, opening up their sacks, having their dinner. And even as the guest among them, Jesus lifted up his eyes. Doesn't say that there, but we'll say he did. He lifted up his eye. He looked to heaven, and he blessed them. The Bible says, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Even as the guest in that situation, he felt it his custom to pray before he ate. That'll at least give you three times a day to pray. All right, the psalmist said, morning, evening, and noon will I pray. I don't think he meant the meals. But he said, a minimum of three times I'm gonna pray. For some of us, maybe it's a little more than three times. Well, we won't go there. But he prayed for a regular situation, a regular meal. And what happened? I like this. Notice this. It said in verse 27, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded on them in the scriptures all things concerning himself. So he opened up, he expounded the scriptures. They even said so in verse number 32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? That's what we ask God to do every time we read his word. Lord, open up the scriptures. You know how many folks hear the Bible and hear the Bible and hear the Bible, but it's never opened up to them? They don't get it. They hear it, but they don't understand it. I've had people say, well, I tried to read the Bible, but I didn't understand it. That wasn't the Bible's fault. It's not the Bible's fault, because there's fourth graders that read it and understand it. I saw a thing saying, you know, people have problems with the these and the thous, and yet they use LOL and R-O-F, roll on the floor laughing, and they use all these other symbols and all that, and then say they have a problem with thou. That doesn't make any sense. He opened the scriptures to them, and yet it wasn't that that caused them to identify him. Even though he did that, it wasn't that that triggered them to know who he was. Look at verse 35. He told what things were done in the way, notice this, and how he was known of them in what? Breaking of bread. These disciples had been around Jesus when he prayed before. They'd been around him when he broke bread before. I don't know if it was the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. I know these two weren't at the Last Supper. So it's very possible it was one of the multitudes of other times that they'd been with Jesus and he broke bread. But the minute he did that, they recognized him. I think of Mary there at the garden thinking that Jesus was the gardener, the keeper. Where did you move the body? And he says, Mary. And the minute he says her name, she recognizes that voice. The minute they saw him praying, probably lifting up his eyes and blessing the food, the minute they did that, they said, their eyes were open. They knew exactly who it was. He was identified to them through his praying. What a wonderful example the Lord gives us of praying. A specific time. He prayed early in the morning, got up early, went out day. He prayed late in the evening, went up to a Martin apart. He prayed for his meals. His life was a life of prayer. You and I are to follow his example. These lessons are not meant to intimidate us, though they can, to make us feel inadequate, though they can, but these are here to challenge us, to know that God wants us to talk to Him a lot more than we do. So let's be people of prayer. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes